Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
I feel like we just did this just like a couple days ago.
Because we did just do this a couple days ago, and we had a very romantic fancy date night last night.
We did. It was lovely. It was a lot of very, very good Chinese food.
Yeah, Mike and I have two date spots that are not secret because we tell you about them all, but we like Hell's Kitchen, and we also like Lily and Lou, which is a spot we haven't talked about yet, but it's a gluten-free... Mostly, well, they have two menus. One of them is gluten-free, and they are on the Upper East Side. And we actually went there after we recorded our last episode of the first season.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great spot. We love it. So it was a fun little dinner. But here we are back recording again. This week, we are covering Tragically Hip, which first aired December 30th, 2021.
But hold on. A lot of people, I don't know if you've heard this murmurs, but people are talking about how Samantha may... like do a crossover on Emily in Paris. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that, no.
Oh, like Kim Cattrall coming on Emily in Paris and doing a crossover, which I haven't gotten through the second season of Emily in Paris yet, but I was thinking, because Emily is a PR person, so wouldn't a cool crossover be if Emily came to And Just Like That and was Carrie's new PR person?
Yeah. Is there any, have we indicated at all that they're in the same universe?
No, but there was just people online saying that they think Samantha's going to end up being on And Just Like That.
Well, the people online are saying it.
Or not And Just Like That, on Emily in Paris. So I just wanted to put in my...
Gotcha.
Listen, I just wanted to say my genius thought before someone else on the internet did.
Okay, got it. Duly noted.
Thank you. You heard it here first.
My only thing that I wanted to bring up was, because I had just edited the last episode, that there is the moment where you say that sometimes I pretend like I don't know you. And to go along with the joke, I agreed. I want to just say that's never actually happened. And it's you saying things like that is why we get reviews on Apple saying, do these two even like each other? Mm. So that's all. I've never actually pretended to not know who you were.
No, but I think sometimes you want to.
See, this is what we're going to get more reviews. We're going to get more. They don't even like each other reviews.
We went on a very romantic date last night, everyone. We should be talking more about those. Okay, so let's get to the episode.
Yeah, so this was directed again by Gillian Robespierre. This one is the first one written by Samantha Irby. She did a little bit of writing on Shrill. She's a comedian and a New York Times best-selling author. And fun fact, she was never in the writer's room during the entire writing and producing process. She actually met the rest of the writing team and Michael Patrick King at the New York premiere of And Just Like That. So all of her work was done remotely, which I think is very interesting and very much a sign of the times.
Wow. So, like, she didn't even have Zoom meetings with the people? Like, they didn't do that, or?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, everything was online.
Oh,
like,
okay.
She just never actually met with them in person until the premiere.
I thought she just, like, dropped it off and was like, no notes. It's good to go.
Don't try to fix anything that I wrote. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Not to, like, get too technical, but for those that don't know how a writer's room works, like, she didn't write every word of this script and then that was it. The way it sort of works is that, like, you write a draft and then it goes to the writer's room and people kind of, like, punch up the jokes or, I don't like this, I do like this, let's change this. So everyone writes on every episode. This is just the one that she's going to be primarily credited with.
Right. It was her through line, her story.
Yes.
Speaking of writing and notebooks, when I was looking for a notebook to take notes with, I realized that my notebooks, Mike, are a journey. Like, I have been, you know, I've been sober for 10 years. I do morning pages every day. I've done a lot of gratitude lists in my life. I've done this Sex and the City. I've written for other people. So all that to say, like, I need to buy a new notebook, but I was looking for any spare paper in my apartment I could find. And it was an emotional journey to try to find some, like, spare pages. I'm like, oh gosh, do I really have to go through that experience from 2017 right now? I'm just trying to find an empty piece of paper.
Yeah, I wish I had more of that. All right, so we start off and Carrie is showing Seema into her building. And I don't think we've ever seen this aspect of the building before, right?
Yeah, that's the first thing I wrote. I wrote, have we ever seen the entrance /foyer/lobby to Carrie's apartment?
No, I don't think we have. It was an interesting insight into her brownstone. And I think it's funny that Seema goes right into realtor mode. Like, Carrie's just showing her where she's living because
yeah.
She asked.
And she makes the comment that she can just light a few diptyques to hide the brownstone
yeah.
smell. If you don't know, diptyque is the brand of candle. It's that, I'm going to mispronounce it, but it's bays that Carrie had in her apartment before. They're very expensive.
They're like, I have teeny tiny ones over on my shelf that I got from a free sample because I can't actually afford to buy, though I really do want the fireplace one, I think it's called. I love that smell. And I kept saying, like, I'm going to treat myself. So one of these days I'm going to treat myself and I'm going to get myself the...
I said the same thing. I was like, I'm going to... When I moved into this apartment, I was like, I'm going to treat myself and buy a Diptyque candle because I just moved to the Upper East Side and it's like, you know, we finished this podcast and I just thought it would be a fun thing to do. And then I went to the store and I was like, I can't bring myself to do that.
I'm the same way where I'm like, just go do it. And then I look and I'm like, no, never mind. I'll get this candle instead.
Yeah.
So Carrie needs a little help getting up the stairs because of her back, which the internet has told her is classified as old lady back.
Yeah. And I thought it was a very risky move to have a communal umbrella stand.
Yeah.
People are going to steal those in New York. That is like, and there's a lot in there and they all look very nice.
Yeah. Seema says the internet is for perverts, which I think is kind of, I don't know. Have we not moved past that at this point? Well, I feel like everyone uses the internet now.
It is for perverts. I don't know how it also, but how that relates to her back injury.
Yeah.
Like that just sounds like something I would say.
And she asks what her orthopedic says, which reminds me of the movie Reality Bites when someone tells the Winona Ryder character to contact her lawyer. And she says, I don't have a dentist, which is, I think of that all the time because I don't have one either.
Well, and also, did you think of the internet is for porn from Avenue Q when she said that?
100%. Okay, yeah, I definitely thought of that. So Seema's cousin is apparently an orthopedic surgeon, Vikosh, I think is his full name. Mm-hmm. And she can have someone to fix the mold spot tomorrow. And I always think about that because I feel like every apartment has mold in New York.
Yeah, it does. And I immediately was like, yes, please have her take care of that. Because if you know me, I mean, yeah. I'm very open about having OCD. And there's just certain things it latches on to. We've heard me talk about like starting fires. And another thing is mold. Like I'm always very concerned about mold and water spots in people's building.
Yeah, my apartment is basically built of mold. That's basically what my primary building material is in my apartment.
Yeah, I kind of want Seema's to get someone over to your apartment, maybe. Yeah.
And Carrie says there's no urgency because she has back magic, which is just like a little heated pad that she puts on her back.
The brand is Salon. I'm not going to say it right, but it's Salonpas. And then she refers to it as back magic. You're right. But there is an actual thing called back magic. My friend Tom has it, and it's this like stretcher thing that you lay on the ground and you like lay over it and it stretches out your back. And
oh, I think that I've seen that. I think that I would like that.
Yeah, it's really great. Like, especially if you're someone whose like back goes out a bunch. Every time I used to go to their apartment, I would like, they would keep it under their, one of the cabinets in like their entranceway. And I would always just grab it and like lay on back magic. And then he would yell at me because you're supposed to do it for a specific amount of time. And I would always just get bored after 2 minutes. And he's like, you're not going to feel the benefits.
So Carrie kind of, you know, mentions that she should hire Seema to take care of her entire life. And I think Seema kind of agrees.
The new Louise.
Yeah, exactly. So we're at the doctor's office. This actor is Manu Narayan.
Okay.
He hasn't done a lot of stuff, but I enjoyed him. So I wanted to mention his name.
Yeah, I like that Carrie has her heels on with the robe.
Yeah.
Did you notice? Like, she's sitting there like, and
yeah.
And I always feel like a wet rat when I'm in like those robes, when it's like, take everything off and you're sitting. I guess you probably haven't done that in a while.
No, what's a doctor?
Yeah, like those of us who go to gynecologists, when that happens, because you have to take everything off. So we're just like sitting there like, okay.
Yeah.
It's cold.
And we find out that Carrie has an undiagnosed congenital birth defect.
I think I have it too. And I'm not being sarcastic
that's
or funny.
That's definitely not why you think it.
No, it's because my hips, like I've known my whole life that I have really, really turned out hips and I have a lot of hip stuff. And my uncle has the same thing. And I'm always worried, like, I'm going to go to an orthopedist and this is going to happen to me. Did you notice that Vikosh mentions, I'm sure Seema has told you my dating history as well? He makes that comment, like, I'm sure in the car Seema told you everything about me, including my dating history. And we didn't hear that. And I'm wondering if this was like a cut plot twist, or is this foreshadowing, or is this just something that was said in the script?
I think it's just acknowledging the fact that Seema's going to like tell everyone's business to everyone.
Okay.
Or sort of like, you're about to be my brother. This is blah, 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 blah. This is blah, 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 blah. It could be foreshadowing, I suppose. But I think it was more of just like a,
I'm sure that Seema told you everything there is to know about me. Just, you know.
Yeah, and you're right.
Kind of an offhand, a sibling conversation.
Carrie has an undiagnosed birth defect. I like when her pelvis shoots up and she's like, that's not my back, when her pelvis is on the...
Yeah, exactly.
I also like that he says, my colleague and I took a look at your films. I'm like, oh, which films?
I think that's just a thing
when
that
he's talking about the
doctors say.
I know, but I...
They watched Failure to Launch. Is that what you're saying?
They watched Miss Jessica Parker. I've noticed.
They went back and watched Footloose. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Oh, I love Footloose.
So good. And I'm not an old lady, but she is having hip surgery, so we're kind of, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And Anthony has a lot of jokes.
Yeah. Are we going to call this now Four Peeps at Lunch? Because it's no longer the Four Ladies at Lunch.
I guess we could do that. I didn't write down anything of that. But yes, it is his first solo lunch with the ladies, so he feels like he has to bring it.
Yeah.
And Miranda wants to get champagne.
And Carrie's eating pancakes and french fries.
Yeah.
And Charlotte has avocado toast.
Pancakes and french fries. She's carbo-loading.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this calls for champagne. And Charlotte's like, but it's 12:30.
Which I don't think that's too early for champagne. But that said, I'm not really a day drinker. I don't really enjoy a daytime cocktail.
You're not really...
I'm also just old.
Well, and this isn't like digging at you, but you're also not like a day doer. Like, you're not someone I would be like, Mike, let's meet for lunch at 12.
No, I mean, if we had a plan, I would make it.
Right. But I'm just saying there's not like, you're not a lunch person. So I think that's fine.
Yeah. My lunch is like usually around 4 p.m. Yeah, that's kind of lunchtime for me.
You have a very regimented workout before then.
Yes.
I am intimidated by Excel spreadsheet. When Charlotte pulled that out, I was like,
yeah, I'd like to know how to use them better.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it.
So she's getting a spreadsheet basically to help them take care of Carrie so that someone will always be there with her. And Carrie says that she would rather die than show her pee to someone.
There's a lot of people that like, that's their career.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you know, people that anyone that works in a hospital, really.
Oh, I was talking more about like...
Oh, showing the pee. Got it.
Yeah, I was talking more about like internet work.
I guess it's nice work if you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that Carrie will be on crutches for 2 to 3 weeks, and then with 6 to 8 weeks of PT and fully recovered in a few months. So no exercise, which is no problem, and no heels, which is a problem.
Anthony wants to know if she has a pair of flats, and she does. She bought a pair of Toms in 2007. We all bought a pair.
Just to be charitable?
Oh, do you understand that?
Yeah, I do understand it. I don't own a pair of Toms, but I have heard of them. Isn't that where, like, you buy a pair and then they give a pair to someone in need?
Right. They were, like, the first company to do that, and since then, like, Warby Parker does it, a lot of other companies do that. I think everyone bought a pair of Toms in 2007. We actually, because none of us had money at the time, me and all of my girlfriends like chipped in to buy our friend Tom a pair of Toms for his 30th birthday. Like, that was the big gift, was a pair of Toms. And to even bring this full circle to Miranda's drinking problem, my last night ever drinking, I was wearing a pair of Toms, but they were heeled Toms, which is a thing. They were like a wedge red and white heeled Tom.
A wedge Tom.
Yeah.
So we're at Charlotte's and it's a parent planning committee Zoom meeting.
I like Charlotte's Zoom ring light.
And she's organizing her sliced vegetables, which I guess is very Charlotte.
It's very, it's also very TikTok culture. This is like a thing now where people do like these ASMR refrigerator restocks. And it's like Emily Mariko. She's a TikTok sensation who has the salmon rice. And she does this thing where she will like go to the grocery store and then chop all her veggies and put them in these containers. It's a very satisfying thing to watch.
And everyone wants to say how great Rock was in the school play. And Charlotte doesn't know who that is. And she thinks that everyone froze. This is also very of the moment.
Yes. And Mike hates Ainsley and Deirdre. Those are the two that you don't like.
They don't annoy me in this episode as much.
In the Guess Who squares, it's like, right. Do you annoy Mike? Charlotte doesn't know who Rock is, and then there's awkward silence, and then LTW saves the day and says, I'll call you.
Yeah, she ends the meeting and says she's going to call her.
Right, and LTW calls and says, Rose told everyone to call her Rock. So at this point, we're still not sure about the pronoun situation.
Correct. We go a little bit back and forth on that in this episode. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she doesn't know what the context is, which leads us to Charlotte interrupting an exploding frogs game.
Looks like fun.
Because she needs information. Yeah. And Rock says they put it up on TikTok, which I refuse to accept as a form of communication.
Did you happen to read the article that Alexis Swinton did talking about this?
Okay. I did not.
Okay, I did. So Alexis Swinton, who is the actress that plays Rose/Rock, said that when she was researching this, like, she had actually some input into this moment and said she wanted to make this not like a sad experience, just kind of like something fun, because that was her experience with friends of hers that had come out as like non-binary or coming out with, you know, a different name or things like that. And that TikTok for them is like the way that they do it. So this actually is pretty accurate, it sounds like, for this generation. And I know for you and I, we're like, what? A TikTok? But Lily was completely off book on the Rock rap. So
yeah, that is very true. And I do like, and our friend Annabelle, we were kind of talking about this, that I love that they're so supportive of each mm-hmm. other. I feel like it would have been so easy to play into the sibling rivalry and like them not getting along. And I love that they don't go that way. I love that like these two siblings clearly love and support each other.
And we actually also, what I like too, is I like that they didn't take the route of Charlotte being resistant to this, because Charlotte is always like the super quote unquote girly one, and that she is actually really, you know, trying to do her best with this.
Yeah. Harry wants to know if that's her rapper name.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about an Ellen that changed her name to Ellie, but is now Scouts. Did I write that down right?
Yeah. Are you doing this because Ellen is now Eli, who goes by Scout? And then Charlotte goes, well, good for Scout.
Yeah. And everyone at school is cool with it. So we cut to Miranda opening Amazon packages as Louisa enters. And you have a lot of packages and too many and not all for me. And one of them contains tube socks and Astroglide strawberry flavor.
Strawberry. I just wrote Miramazon. I don't know why.
Because you had to. You didn't have a choice.
And then Miranda finds out that somebody has sent the book Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker to her house for her.
Yeah, and it's a mistake. It's not for her. And we do, you know, there is the moment of Louisa liking how cool Miranda is about all of this, that her mom would choke her with a rosary, which I do think is a little insight into Louisa's life outside of the Hobbs Brady household.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we get to Carrie sporting a sock sandal combo.
Socks and Birks.
Yeah, she's technically at St. Clair's Specialty Surgery Center, which is actually St. John University Manhattan campus. You can see the St. Mark's Hotel outside the window there.
Oh, so it's right there.
So a little bit of window dressing that we've done. Yeah, right on, I think it's at like 2nd and Astor Place, something mm-hmm. like that.
And when she checks in, she says Carrie Bradshaw. Now, this, I only make note of this because this seems like something where you would have to use your legal name. So has she already changed her name back from Carrie Preston? Was Carrie Preston never her legal name? I was just something interesting.
Yeah, interesting. I actually didn't catch that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she ever changed her name, and if she did, if she's already changed it back. And I like that she filled out all the forms online in an extremely productive panic attack. That's just good writing right there. And she gives her a buzzer. Am I at Applebee's? And it's very unsettling from here down. She's a Vermont art teacher.
Mm-hmm. Stocks and socks.
Yeah. And then she sort of brings up margaritas, which gets Miranda to bring up the book that she's certain that Charlotte sent to her. And she does say, like, Charlotte's overreacting to her behavior at the comedy concert.
Yes. I have it written. I have like a whole rant on that. But before we get into my rant on the comedy concert, a couple things. So this book, Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker, is actually a very good book, I hear. I have not read it because I quit like a woman before it was written. But I think Chrissy Teigen actually posted a picture of this book last year when she had decided to stop drinking. I have many friends that have read it. Holly Whitaker has an Instagram account that's pretty popular with sober women. So, you know, it's cool that that book was so heavily featured. And I hope that no one, I don't know, I think that it's going to have a turnaround, because at first I was like, oh, they're kind of like taking jabs at the title and all this stuff. But I think it's more Miranda, the character, taking jabs
at
the title.
Yeah, I think so. On my other podcast that I do with Vanya, we always have like the thing of the week that we liked the most. And I think that one week this was Vanya's, was this book.
Okay.
And Vanya is not sober.
No.
But she was reading it as sort of a like a tool to understand drinking and understand, you know, the effects that it can have, and sort of understand like how it works with your mind and the way that like advertising and all of that kind of messes with your brain as well. So yeah, I had actually heard of this book before because of that.
Yeah. And I like that Miranda says that she didn't send it to a card. She just Amazoned her.
Yeah.
Carrie's like, did you make that up? I did once Amazon Tom a DVD of the Clay Aiken Christmas special. Just for fun.
Okay.
So comedy concert, really quick.
Okay.
For God's sake, am I wrong or have I always just called them comedy shows? Like, is this a thing? Is comedy concert a thing? I will let it go after this moment if you've heard it being called a comedy concert your whole life and I haven't.
I don't think I've ever heard the term comedy concert okay. outside of this show ever in my life.
Thank
it's
you.
A we're comedy just, show
it's a comedy
or
show,
a comedy yeah.
club show. I'm just, we're done with it. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to, I'm done with this issue, but.
Yeah, Miranda needs a coffee and gets up to go, and post-surgery Carrie will want a Diet Peach Snapple and a payday.
Yeah, elder Carrie loves Diet Snapples. We're noticing that.
I think we were talking last week about how wanting a non-fat latte is very indicative of a certain generation. And I was thinking also whenever anyone asks me for a sweet and low, I just think you are old.
Mm-hmm. And we're not calling Carrie old, but we are saying that, like, I think even my, like, our generation, right? Like, the people in their mid to late 30s and above, like diet soda, we know it's not the best for you, but we'll still do it.
Yeah, from time to time.
You know.
Though I don't want to get sued by the Snapple company, but I was obsessed with Diet Peach Snapple once upon a time. I would drink it all the time, and I had one recently, and the memories are fonder than the flavor. I'm just going to put it that way.
I don't think they're going to sue you for saying you didn't like it.
They're going to pull out as our sponsor.
They're going to send the Snapple woman to your house.
Yeah. So we're in the hospital room and Charlotte is asking Miranda if she was a tomboy. And is that, that's funny that it's sort of brought up. I don't think that you're supposed to use that term anymore because I don't even know where it comes from or if it's considered a bad term.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that aspect. I was assuming Louisa wouldn't like that because women should be able to dress in whatever way they like without somebody commenting on it. I think it's more about that.
Gotcha.
Love Miranda's hair here, though.
Oh, yeah. She Love looks it. Great. And she was like, yeah, I was, and I still am. And did you ever wish you weren't a girl? And every time I have a mammogram.
And you have to say something. We have to say something about Carrie in the hospital bed and just multiple strands of pearls. She is giving. Did you ever see Grey Gardens on Broadway?
I did, yes.
Okay. Or if you've seen the documentary, she is giving Big Edie in this moment, laying in that bed with those like multiple strands of pearls.
Yeah, she wakes up and she's been like that. She asks how long she's been asleep as though they're going to be like 8 days and she's been asleep for 10 minutes. And she thinks she has to pee. There's no time for a nurse because she wolfed down a lot of ice chips. And she's not going to use a bedpan. She feels no pain.
Yeah, Carrie has a lot of fear about people seeing her pee. And I was thinking in this moment when she's talking about the pain pills, like, do not promote pain pills to your friend who may be struggling with alcoholism and addiction.
Yeah, I kind of bumped up upon that moment, too. And Charlotte read that you should be strong enough to lift your child, so she's been doing burpees. I don't know that burpees make you stronger.
Of course they do.
Do they really? Is there a lot of upper body strength in doing a burpee?
Yeah, it's a push-up.
Oh, I guess that I do non-push-up burpees when I do them.
Yeah, they're like, you like jump, and then you squat, and then you like, you know, you're like plank and jump back and jump in and squat and plank and jump back and jump in and squat. Yeah.
I just don't feel like that's very upper body, but it's fine. There's a call, and we know it's Che because Charlotte refers to herself as Rambo.
Mike's going to get hate from fitness professionals.
Listen, I do them all the time, but if I'm going to develop my upper body strength, I lift things.
Yeah, but you are not Charlotte Goldenblatt. I think a burpee for Charlotte is building strength.
Okay.
So, yes, we get a call from Che. We are in room 1406.
Miranda tells Che to come right up. Carrie calls this a very special episode of Friends.
And this is the first time I think Che has been misgendered on the show because Miranda said she is on her way up, and Carrie, even in a drug-induced pee haze, says they.
Yes, and tells her to correct both things. correct the pronoun and correct the fact that Che's even coming up because she does not want more people in the room. Tells her to go so that she can go, and Carrie can't tell if she's peeing or not and can't tell if she's done or not. So I guess good thing Charlotte's there.
I like that.
No, it was very funny. I enjoyed it. So we're down at the, I don't know if it's actually a cafeteria, but we're down at a common space at the hospital. And
Che is telling their diverticulitis story and how their father confused diverticulitis and lesbianism.
Yeah. And then it's not just about what they eat. It's about watching what they feel.
There's another book called The Body Keeps the Score that has been recommended to me many, many times. That's all about this, where it's like your body holding all of these things in it, which that's just what this reminded me of.
Huh.
My mom has diverticulitis.
Well, Che is going to go on to participate in a few moments of ingesting things that one with diverticulitis is not supposed to ingest. Right. But we'll get there
spicy
when we get
foods.
There.
Foods.
Yep. That's going to happen right away with the spicy food. I'm like, that's a no-no food.
Yeah, it looks like Mexican food. So it's probably some beans there, too. I know with my mom, it's a lot of, like, seeds and stuff. It's, like, things that gets... Because it's... I think it's actually, like, holes in your intestines, maybe?
Well, it's sort of anything fibrous, also. Yeah, anything yeah. spicy, anything fibrous is not... Because it's a colon thing. Mm-hmm. And Miranda kind of talks about feeling trapped and how she'd felt trapped at her law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I guess, just sort of a bonding moment for the two of them.
Yeah.
And we get to Anthony getting out of the Hot Fellas Baked Good van. And just, you know, I'm just going to bring it up that this was supposed to be Stanford and Anthony. Mm. They were both supposed to be there. And in fact, you can see the outfit that he was supposed to wear. If you look, they posted it online of him in a fitting for it. But, you know, they've written the scene. And just for the record, I've never seen Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Okay, you should.
I guess he quotes it here. And,
yeah. I mean, there's a... So also, I like that they're just eating other people's baguettes in the back of the van.
Yeah.
It's a definite DOH violation. Yeah, so you should watch Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. It is... We'll watch it together because you're going to watch it and be like, this shit was made back then. It's freaky AF. It's very, very scary. And there's the whole line about, but you are, Blanche, you are, in relation
yeah,
to being
I know
in,
that line.
To relation to being in the wheelchair. So yes, yeah, it's very, very Baby Jane.
So she's going to be carried up the stairs, but Anthony's not the one lifting her because it would pop his hernia net. Which is another little fact about Anthony that we didn't know before.
Makes sense. Did she bedazzle her hospital slippers, or does Carrie actually have three pairs of flats now, and she's lying to us?
Maybe. Maybe she invested in flats.
Because it looks like she just put some tulle on the hospital slippers.
And we get a Prince Boner. This is Thomas Canestraro. I'm saying it's probably Tomas, because he's French.
Okay.
And this is so random, but he did print work for The Hunger Games, but wasn't in it. He was in some of the advertising. And just for the record, there are no shirtless pictures on his IMDb page, just in case anyone's going to look for that.
Anyone.
And if anyone else is going to look for it, I'm just saving you the time.
Yeah, if anyone, like, accidentally was looking for that and wanted to save them to a screensaver,
Not going
to
find him on IMDb. None of them there. So Carrie's podcasting in a lampshade.
Yeah, I wrote, Carrie is in her Easter bonnet, zooming about Sam excavating her vagina.
Yeah, because we get with girlfriends and boundaries, and her girlfriends are always there for her, and she tells the Sam Jones diaphragm story. Just for the record, Sarah Jessica Parker popped that hat on. That was sort of a last-minute Sarah Jessica Parker decision that sort of, she thought, like, fed into the moment of Carrie being a little loopy on pills.
Is it bad that I didn't think it was, like, Carrie being loopy on pills? I was just like, oh, Carrie's in a lampshade.
You're like, that's a Carrie hat. Yeah. That makes sense. And I, you know, Jay mentions the painkillers that Carrie is clearly on. And there is part of me that's like, is that okay? Like, should Carrie be podcasting on pills? I don't know. I'm a little torn on it.
Yeah, because she's not, it's not like she is under the influence and she is, I mean, I'm sure if she said something really inappropriate or if she thought it was really bad or Samantha said no, she would reach out and say like, hey, can you take that out? Like, you know, you and I edit these. And I think that if Carrie was someone who had struggled with addiction or was, I feel like in that moment, it was more just a funny moment. Like, Carrie's had hip surgery and she's on some painkillers.
Yeah. And I also do just like them referencing past moments on the show. That's a thing that TV shows do surprisingly seldom of being like, remember that time that, and I enjoyed that. Not only just that it brings Samantha back into the story, but that it reminds us of another time, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. And you know what? You're right. Because a lot of TV shows like Friends, which I'll only mention because recently you've been showing me episodes of Friends that I've never seen because I haven't seen it. And Friends does that, but they acknowledge, like, they recreate or they create memories. Like, it's like, remember when that thing happened? And it's like a whole new experience that wasn't on the show.
None of us had ever seen it before.
Right. But this is like, no, remember when that thing happened and it was like actually on the show? So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I like that. So Carrie's using her crutches and feels like she's finally got the podcasting thing down. And Charlotte kind of has that moment of wondering if Carrie remembers what she just said. And will Samantha be okay with it? And Carrie says it's her vagina and Samantha's in a different world. And Charlotte just thinks that Carrie should reach out to Samantha.
Yeah. And Carrie puts her hat on the lamp, which is a fire hazard.
Or it's the lampshade and that's where it belongs.
Oh, yeah. Or it's going home. It's either going to burn it down or it's going to go home. And did you notice that previously when Carrie was in this apartment, there was no bedding. But now the bedding's back and it's her old bedding. It's the bedding from, you know, 15 years ago or whatever.
It's probably just on a shelf in the closet somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not the same stuff, but I'm curious if the set designer had to, like, go out and find that and or have it made.
So we're at a meeting and Harry's just sort of wondering if this particular child should have been allowed to adopt a new name without the parents being informed. And the teachers didn't know, the parents didn't know.
Nope. Robin and Laura are the teachers here. And Harry is taken aback, you know?
And is taken aback by the use of there.
Mm-hmm. And we still, even in this moment, have yet to discuss pronouns for Rock.
Correct.
Or Rose.
And, you know, Charlotte wants to be clear that they aren't resistant. They're just trying to understand. And it's sort of a thing of this is a very supportive school and there's therapy and counseling. And Charlotte wonders what happened to a child simply exploring. Like, when did this go from your 12-year-old is just trying something to, like, no, things are being set in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry says they're talking about a 12-year-old who would eat ice cream for every meal if they could. And I get it. Like, I like that it's not too perfect, but that they're not shutting it down. That they're like, mm-hmm. they're not opposed to it. But, you know, Harry makes the point in the next scene as they're in the hallway of, like, it's really humbling to have people talk to you about your own child.
I love
and
that line.
You know, I don't know what that would feel like, but it's a great line. And it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I like that line because I just wrote Harry is such a good guy. Because in that moment, I was expecting it to go to, like, when you hear other people talk about your own kid, like, they need to shut their mouth and they need to blah, blah, blah. And he wasn't. He was just saying, like, it's very humbling because in that moment, he's saying, I don't know everything about my own child and I don't know everything that's best for my own child. And maybe these people do.
Yeah. I can imagine it being a very difficult situation.
And you're right that, like, showing this aspect of it, like, showing the parents going through it and, like, yeah, it's cool that they're doing that.
So Miranda is at Carrie's and the buzzer buzzes. It's Che, and here we are. I just wrote that because I did do my notes the second time I was watching it, so I'm aware of what's about to happen.
Yeah, and Carrie's intercom is very clear. It's like, you hear Che very well through that intercom.
Yeah.
And it doesn't buzz like yours.
No.
Which people want to hear. The people want to hear it, Mike, so we have to remember to record it.
Hear my buzzer.
Yeah, because it
see if I can get a recording of that. So Miranda kind of checks herself out, and she's answering the door, and Che has brought a new mic and some aged tequila.
Mm-hmm. The mic is from B&H.
What's that?
The mic is from B&H. I only mention that because that's like a New York City electronics audio visual camera store.
So they start doing shots, just for the record. Also a no-no if you have diverticulitis. You're not really supposed to drink alcohol, but okay.
Do you have diverticulitis, Mike?
No, but I did a lot of research on it. I was inspired by this episode to do some research. I was like, oh, I want to know more about this.
Yeah, we should have my mom on as an expert.
Yeah, just to tell us all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Chase sparks it up.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I had a few things about this. Number one, they're eating donuts, or someone in the house is eating donuts, which is the hostess little donuts, because they're on the counter.
Uh-huh.
Also are the Pepperidge Farm Montauk cookies, which those are like the chocolate chip ones. I am more of a fan of a Milano, love a Milano. The double dark chocolate are my absolute favorite. They come in like different tiers of paper. I can kill two tiers easily. My other thing is like, yeah, don't smoke in Carrie's kitchen. Like, I don't care if you're kind of drunk. She's in bed. Don't smoke in her kitchen. Che doesn't seem that drunk, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Miranda's doing most of the drinking and Miranda thinks Che is basically the funniest person ever in the history of the world. Like,
Always, her
laughing. Yeah, it's pretty insane. Che has to go because Jersey isn't going to make itself laugh. And I feel like there's another joke here. I feel like there was a opportunity for some kind of joke in there, but
like a Jersey joke,
something like that, but we'll let it go.
And then the subtitles say whimsical music and it all starts to happen.
Yeah, we get some flirty hand stuff and then some towel action, and then Miranda basically begs Che to shotgun her. I love it. I mean, it's such a thing that you would say to someone you like, of like, oh, if you weren't leaving so soon, I would have asked you to blah 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 blah, which is just your way of saying, can you please do this before you go? And yeah, which leads to kissing, and Carrie wakes up in the other room and calls for Miranda, who clearly doesn't hear her.
She should be able to hear her.
She should be able to hear her. It's not that big of an apartment. I will say that Che now requests consent. And I do wonder if that mirror was placed there just for this reason, because Carrie has a very clear shot of her bedroom into the kitchen, mm-hmm. which actually feels really practical. So I wonder if, like, that's always why that mirror has been there.
Probably not, but it is a good thing to have, you know, as, like, so you can see what's going on in your kitchen if there's a break-in or mouse problem.
So Carrie still has to pee and tries to get up, and I wrote, things are getting handsy, fingersy in the other room.
Miranda sounds like she's having a baby.
Yeah, I wrote, Miranda's a screamer, okay.
Yeah, I mean, but, like a horror film screamer. Yeah. Like, it's not like someone being loud, like they're having a good time. They're just like having, I don't know what's happening. And I did write, Mike, if you ever come to my house during my hip surgery, please don't F my caretaker.
Well, I'm not going to make any promises.
Yeah.
But I probably will not.
Unless Ricky Martin is my caretaker.
He has kids. I just can't get down with someone with kids. Sorry. No offense.
So if Ricky Martin was like, hey, Mike, I'm single and I'm into you, you would be like, sorry.
No, I would totally go for it. Who am I kidding?
Okay. Yeah.
You know, the scream was on purpose also. I mean, I have heard Michael Patrick King kind of talk about that. First of all, he was like, you can ask Cynthia Nixon, like, she'll do anything. Like, she has the ability to do anything. And they asked her to, it was almost supposed to be as though giving birth. It was supposed to almost be like a rebirth moment. And it's sort of offset with Carrie, you know, seeing that Snapple bottle and sort of blowing the straw away, because I do think we're trying to offset what's happening with like a little bit of humor. I was just deeply uncomfortable, and not because of any kind of lesbianic or any kind of like, I'm not, sex doesn't make me uncomfortable. I just, you know how I feel about the bottom line of all of this, and I just was like, why is this happening? Why
would it be, because I know we're being aware of this, would it be considered lesbianic because Che is non-binary?
Good point.
Yeah, vaginal.
Right. Whatever aspect of the sexuality it is, that wasn't my issue.
Right, your issue is cheating.
Miranda says this is the best feeling she's ever had in her life. That's a lot.
And then Che's out. Che's like, I gotta go to Jersey with giant juice on my hands.
Yeah, DM me if you want to chill again soon. So that's just Che's version of chillin'. I don't know. I don't know how deeply I want to get into the morality of this situation, but I have questions about Che.
Like,
does Che have no issue with the fact that they are having a sexual encounter with someone who is married?
Does Che know Rambo is married?
I would imagine. I mean, maybe not.
Yeah, because I don't even know if Che knows Rambo's real name.
But Che has met Rambo's child, which doesn't mean that she's married. I don't know. I have issues with Che. I don't love this character, and that's fine. I don't think you have to love every character in a TV show, but I have some issues with this character. It's fine. We'll explore it as we go forth.
Yeah.
And I do write that Carrie did a pretty good job with peeing into the bottle, and then she spills it on the bed.
Yeah, it was. I did think of that too. I thought she might need a shiwi. I just learned about shiwis. They are these things that you can put around your vagina so you can pee standing up. If you are a person with a vagina.
So Miranda's back in the bathroom and maybe closed the door.
Yeah, and I just wrote that Carrie has every right to be selfish right now.
100%.
Like, this was a typical Carrie rant, but she deserves to have it right now.
And Miranda's attitude here is insane to me. Like, do you really think there's any chance that she didn't hear you? It is insane to think that that was not heard in this tiny apartment. And it was sort of this thing where she says, like, it was a fine nap until she woke to discover her friend having sex in the kitchen with her boss, and she wet herself because there was no one to help her to the bathroom. And Miranda seems to think she can laugh it off as silly or ignore it.
What are you doing?
I'm getting clean sheets, and I'm gonna get all that stuff off of the bed. And,
no.
And
what are you doing?
I say it gets very intense, and I think this, I don't think, this is the first Carrie and Miranda fight where one of them knows they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, we've had them go into fights where, like, they each feel like they can justify what's happened. This is the first time that it's like, no, this is Carrie. This is Carrie is in the right here. I don't even understand Miranda's attitude about it in this moment.
What was that in my kitchen? What is going on with you?
I don't know. Che brought you tequila, and we were doing shots out in the kitchen, and we were trying to be quiet. We were trying not to wake you up.
Well, you did wake me up.
Right. And I think that, you know, if this were happening, let's say, and Carrie wasn't recovering from hip surgery, and Miranda's job wasn't to be Carrie's caretaker and help her to the bathroom. Like, if this was just a situation where, like, Miranda hooked up with Carrie's boss and Carrie happened to hear it, it would be a different story. But I think it's like your sole purpose was to show up for me, and you couldn't do that.
And why are you doing shots in the afternoon? And my apartment reeks of pot. and my bed is soaked in pee. You said you would be here for me, and you weren't.
I'm so sorry. I guess I just had too much to drink. No more tequila for me.
And she's just really trying to laugh it off. And Carrie's like, you're married and you just had sex in my kitchen. And, you know, we get to Miranda with the I'm unhappy, I hate my marriage, I'm trapped, I've felt this way forever.
You know, there's two things here. I think that when you are so uncomfortable, I mean, I don't even know what Miranda's feeling in this moment. I think she's feeling this moment of like elation, this moment of I'm finally, you know, this is the best I've ever felt, but also this extreme sadness. I don't know if it feels, the closest thing I can think of it was it reminded me of when I've had panic attacks before and I'm at work and I have to like just keep going. That's how her behavior was. Like her behavior is like when I am having a panic attack at work, but I was just triple sat. I'm trying to take an order and answer people's questions and I'm sweating and I'm crying and I'm trying to figure it all out. Like that's what it looked like when she was like, well, you need new bed sheets. Let's change your bed sheets.
Yeah, that must be what it is. And, you know, and Carrie does bring up like, I think you should look into the drinking. And Miranda makes the point of like, well, we were all drinking during the pandemic. I just kept going. I don't have a problem. If I had a problem, I would quit. And then what about the other thing in the kitchen? And I don't want to quit that. I've never felt like this in my life.
She mentions the other activity in the kitchen. And I was like, that's what we're calling it.
Right.
An activity.
Yeah.
And I did make note of this as someone who has a lot of experience drinking and not drinking and, you know, having people say like, maybe you shouldn't be drinking anymore and all of that. In this moment, Carrie is threatening to now take away one of two things that are helping Miranda get through life, right? Because right now it looks like it's Che and it's alcohol. And that's really scary for her, I can imagine, which is why, you know, it's like, no, she's in that denial phase. And a lot of people have mentioned, too, about Miranda's alcoholism, how it seems so unbelievable, and Miranda would have more control, and this isn't what that looks like, and Miranda looks like she has it all together, she's just ordering too much wine at lunch, and blah, blah, blah. And the thing is I actually, as someone who, you know, is sober and struggled with drinking, like, I think that they're doing a great job with this, because there are a lot of women, myself included, that that's what it looked like, and I told everyone else I drank too much before they had a chance to. And I think with Miranda ordering all the booze out loud, it could be her way of being like, if I do this out loud, you know, you're not going to call me out on it. And people have said too, like, is there even a sober person in the room who like has anything to do with this? Yeah, Kristen Davis. She's been sober since she was 21 years old, is very open about it. So I can think that if like people who actually have quit drinking and have like struggled with alcoholism, they're probably identifying with this because it doesn't always look the way that it looks like on other TV shows. So that's my rant on that.
Yeah, when you brought up Kristen Davis, because I knew that about her, but I hadn't put it together. I hadn't had that thought. I think it's a very good point to make. And I don't want to say that I don't believe any of this.
No, I know.
I'm not trying to say that I think this is... When I say something that I don't like something, I don't mean that it shouldn't have been written or shouldn't have been put in the show. I'm simply... That's my reaction to the situation. Not that I think it's badly done. It just... The story itself blows my mind a little bit.
Well, and people are saying that, like, we're being beat over the head with Miranda's drinking problem. But I just think it's important for the world to see a put-together woman that isn't able to drink normally. Like, that just can't do it. Because I think that there's a lot of women out there that don't realize how good their lives could be if they stopped drinking because the way that, like... The media pushes it on us. Like you were saying in that book, you know, alcohol is the only drug that you have to kind of convince someone the reason why you're not doing it. Like if I said to you, no, I just stopped doing heroin the other day because I just didn't like the way it made me feel, or I'm not going to do heroin tonight, you wouldn't be like, why?
Right.
Why not? So that's all.
So I do like this next. It's a very little scene, but it's Carrie on her phone texting Samantha about talking about her on the podcast. And it's very simple of just, you know, Samantha responding, one of my finest hours, and Carrie saying, I hope it's okay. Samantha coming back with, of course, I love that your vagina is getting airtime. And then Carrie texts, I miss you. And we get the three little dots of
doom.
Something's going to happen. Yeah, I was going to say that. And then it's nothing. And I guess that's maybe just a step too far. And I don't think I've talked about it on this before, but the other conversation that I'd heard with Michael Patrick King was them talking about how, you know, now, this is me for a moment talking and not not anyone else, I don't think that Kim Cattrall's ever going to be on this show. I hope that I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. I don't think that Kim Cattrall can ever come back from what was said. That said, Michael Patrick King has talked about how Samantha will always be on the show. Like, they couldn't have done it 20 years ago. They couldn't have kept her on the show because there wouldn't have been, like, a way to really work it unless it was, I guess, email or something. But, you know, there are people that I don't see ever that I text from time to time. And, you know, they're still a friend. Like, they're still a presence in my life. And so, while I hope I'm wrong, I hope that I'm incorrect. If this is all that we ever get of Samantha, I'll be sad, but I think that at least it's a nice way to keep her in the story.
Yeah, and I also like that we see that Carrie thanked her for the flowers and Samantha responded to that.
Yeah.
So this isn't their first conversation back.
So Miranda is listening to her very favorite comedian ever, Che.
Yeah, just laughing hysterically. What I thought was more ridiculous was that she has a full iPad recipe thing set up to make a Negroni.
Yeah, it's just three ingredients.
It's three equal ingredients of gin, yeah. Campari, and sweet vermouth, and she needs that whole iPad set up like she's making beef bourguignon or whatever from Julia Child's cookbook. Yeah.
And then she gets the message from Amazon. Mm-hmm. So she knows once and for all, she did in fact order the book. I will say I went through a very similar phase involving Kate Blanchett DVDs, but I didn't regret any of those. I was always happy when those arrived.
One time I drunkenly bought like a very expensive dress at Anthropology, and then I returned it though because it was a ridiculous purchase. But that's like my most ridiculous drunk purchase I made.
And I have similar feelings about throwing technology as I do about throwing booze down the sink, but I guess I get it if that's what you...
I just wrote, Mike, don't watch.
And it's like, I don't mean that at all with any kind of like shade towards those that maybe just can't have alcohol in the house. But I did have that thought of like, Steve maybe would like to have that around.
Well, sure. But I think in this moment, because I had this Miranda moment before where, you know, and I'm getting a little vulnerable here, but I'm one of those recover out loud people. So I quit drinking for the first time when I was 25 years old. And I was very young and I was sober for a year and then my life got better because that's what happens when you quit drinking if you have a drinking problem. Spoiler alert. However, when you're 25, you're not fully mature enough to really maybe realize that. And I thought, okay, well, I've got it figured out. And I, you know, told all my friends, I got a therapist. I even convinced the therapist I was fine with it. Not a great therapist. And I started drinking again because I thought that everything had changed. All the outside stuff had changed. You know, my job was different. The people there drank normally. So if they drank normally, I should be able to drink normally. And I started drinking again. And I told all my friends that, listen, I think I can do this. If this is a problem, I promise you I'll stop again. But I've got this under control. And the same way that Miranda said to Carrie, like, this isn't a problem for me. This isn't a problem for me. And I had that same oh shit moment, the same way Miranda had that oh shit moment when she realized she bought herself the book. When I realized that the night in those Tom's wedges, that I couldn't do this normally. And it was so much easier for me at that moment to just say, like, you know what? Like, I surrender, you got me. And that's what I thought of Miranda doing when she was dumping that stuff down the drain, is I think she was saying to herself, like, okay, I am a smart person, but alcohol is smarter, and I can't do this.
And I also get that television is a visual medium, so maybe they felt the need to give us some kind of visual clue here,
right.
Cue here,
yeah,
which is fine. So Charlotte and Carrie are in a waiting room and Charlotte worries that maybe she's underreacting.
Yeah.
But Carrie points out that Charlotte's not one to underreact in general.
And I had a moment here where I just wrote, I feel like no time has passed. When I was watching Charlotte and Carrie have a conversation with each other, I felt like I was just watching Sex and the City again. It's like that time you turned to me during Sunset Boulevard and said, I'm in. When Glenn Close was singing like 35 minutes in, uh-huh. It's like me. It's at that moment. I was like, I'm in. Like, I'm back in this universe. I feel like no time has passed.
And she can kind of see Harry's point, and so can I. And the whole like, is this her right now or is this her life? And Charlotte sort of mentions getting a perm. But didn't we all have a perm at some point?
I didn't, but I had curly hair.
I had curly hair and I had a perm.
All right, maybe send I'll post me a picture.
I just found pictures at when I was home for the holidays. They're pretty great. I did a whole fashion shoot that my friend Carl took pictures of.
You are a little older than me.
I am a little older than
you. So like perms were a thing for you. Like, everyone did have a perm that was able to get one at your age. We all just put a lot of gel in our hair and scrunched.
Gotcha. And, you know, Charlotte thinks that they should just listen and follow her, their lead.
Mm-hmm.
But every time she opens her mouth, she wants to say Rose. And I actually can get emotional in there because I don't have kids. I can't relate to that in particular. But I know parents whose children have transitioned in one way or another. And I do think it's a thing where you, to a certain extent, do sort of mourn the loss of the child you had.
Of course.
That child is still there, but like, you named your child Rose. Like, that's what you put upon this child. And I totally get that there'd be a certain amount of mourning of, I want to call her Rose. I want her to be my daughter.
Which is why I think they actually are doing a good job of showing all of the emotions that go around this without saying that this is, like, with also respecting
right.
the decision of Rose to be Rock.
And Carrie says that the kid is amazing no matter what, mm-hmm. and a Rose by any other name. And I know that there was some debate as to who was going to say this line, that at first it was maybe Charlotte saying it to Harry, and then maybe it was Harry saying it to Charlotte, but this is correct. This is
Carrie.
This is Carrie would say that. Yeah. She's the writer. She's the one who would say it to Charlotte. So I really do like that moment. And then we get to Travis, the physical therapist, whose name is Ryan Cooper. He has done 2 Christmas rom-coms, and for the record, he does have shirtless pictures on his IMDb page, if anyone wanted to go check that out.
Do you want to know some fun facts about this casting?
Yeah.
You know who was disappointed to not get this part, but was almost going to get it?
You?
Yes. Could you imagine? Sorry. You really like that. No. Mr. Britney Spears. I can't remember his name.
Really?
Sam Asghari, I want to say.
Something like that.
Yeah,
I maybe have pictures of him on my computer.
He posted on Instagram that he was almost going to, like, he almost got this part. And it was a really dope role. Congrats to the guy that got it. And then this actor, what's his name? I can't remember. Peter Cooper? No.
Ryan Cooper.
Ryan Cooper wrote like a message to Sam saying like, thanks, man. Like it was like a very interesting. There was some articles about it recently. I just thought it was very interesting.
Interesting.
But yes, he's very cute. He's an Australian actor.
Yeah, he is Australian.
Yeah.
Travis thinks that PT works best when there's a goal, and she has one. Her entire goal is to get back into heels, which I think is a fine goal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great goal to have.
Yeah.
And he's going to give her a deep lower body massage. And where do I sign up?
Probably a lot of places downtown.
Probably.
That's like,
sure,
men's
that's
spa.
And she goes to schedule her next appointment with Travis, but her insurance doesn't cover him. And I can't decide if this is a weird bait and switch or like insurance just doesn't cover the insanely hot. I don't really know what that is.
It's actually true. That's happened to me at my dentist. I remember I was like,
they wouldn't let you see the hot dentist.
No, the dentist that I go to wasn't available. And they're like, but so-and-so's available. I was like, great, I'll just make an appointment. It was for cleaning. I'll make an appointment. And then they called me back and said, your insurance doesn't cover that person. Because certain providers go through different insurance companies, even if they're at the same practice.
So her future appointments will be with Emmett. And honestly, poor Emmett. I'm sure he's very good at his job.
Yeah, Emmett looks like a really nice guy.
And Carrie's going to pay out of pocket because she's a multimillionaire. That is one thing we haven't really talked about. She sold that apartment. Carrie has a lot of money. I don't know that we'll ever get into how much money she has.
Well,
but she's
an author,
very,
yeah.
very wealthy lady.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like that, 3 months later, I wrote 3 months larger. 3 months later, she's back in heels.
Ugh, she looks good in those heels.
Oh my gosh, that dress is beautiful. It's very like 70s disco and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, if I go to physical therapy for 3 months, is that what I look like?
Yes, that's what 3 months of physical therapy will do.
And it is letting us know that even though there's been some alluding to the fact that she's going to move, that at least for the next 3 months, she is still going to be in that apartment.
Yeah, I'm curious about the time frame because is everyone 3 months later? Is the next episode going to take place 3 months later? Is it going to be 3 months since Miranda had her sexual escapades in the kitchen with Che? Like, I'm curious as to how that time frame will work.
Yeah, or is Carrie just going to be a hologram?
Yeah, could be. So I guess that I couldn't help but wonder if Miranda really thought that Carrie was not going to hear her in the kitchen.
One thing we didn't talk about, the receptionist at the physical therapy office, that's the girl who played Alyssa in The Prom on Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Izzy McCalla, I think is her name, like Isabel McCalla. Okay, I couldn't help but wonder who else lives in Carrie's brownstone? Because it's just very well maintained. And
yeah,
that's all.
People are very respectful with the umbrellas.
Yeah, and I couldn't help but wonder what else Carrie refers to as activity in the kitchen. because I just love that she's like, that activity.
Right. I do feel like this could have gone earlier with the butthole dons, but we did get a reaction from one listener about the lawyer talk who was saying that, like, outside of the courtroom, you almost never get it. I will also say that this bitch lawyer I know, she asked me to call her that. Dana did, in fact, tell me that, no, like, in normal conversation, one does not speak like a lawyer. So we got some opinions back on that.
Dana, I object.
All right, that's it. We'll be back next week with Diwali, which is also an episode of The Office. So who knows which we'll be covering. It could be And Just Like That. It could be a throwback Office episode. It'll be And Just Like That, though.
Yeah, it's also like a pretty major Indian holiday. So I think that it's probably a lot of...
You think a lot of TV shows have an episode called Diwali?
Probably not, but I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
All right, bye. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at EV Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other.
I mean, it is for perverts. Perverts? What did I just say? Oops. Sorry.
Elise just fell down.
There we go. Yeah, I couldn't help but wonder. I couldn't help but... Why don't I... It surprises me every week. You know, I couldn't help but wonder...